name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Frankie Kane. And I'm a light purplish red that is one of the primary subtractive colors complementary to green, better known as Magneta.
Wait a minute. No, I think that's pronounced magenta.
But she had magnetic powers.
Yes, I know. But she had magenta eyes.
Oh.
So it all works out.
Fine.
This is why Cisco should do the naming.
Fine, Josh. Be that way.
All right.
Well, I hate you.
Wait a minute. All right, Magenta, settle down a little bit. Settle down. Wait a minute. Let's see. Magenta. Now, Magenta was on Blue's Clues with Steve Burns. And let's see. Well, Steve Burns was in a movie called Christmas on Mars with Fred Armisen. Now, Fred Armisen did a Portlandia sketch about Keystone Cops. Keystone's where the original Flash lived. The original Flash was Jay Garrick. You know what? I'm just going to call you Jay.
Wow. That was okay, that was very impressive.
Yeah, I think it's easier to pronounce than Magenta. I'm not going to mispronounce that one. So, well, thank you guys for joining us. You have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes from season 3. So, you know, Jay, it's great to have you back this week. I feel like we're kind of taking a breath, you know, and back to some of the old season one kind of format.
They're taking a little bit of that and they're mixing it up with, hey, by the way, the timeline's messed up still.
Hey, by
every
the way.
Every week, more timeline yes, messed up.
He's got to remind Barry every week what he did. Hey, remember when you screwed up the timeline? Yes, I got
Shut
it.
Up.
I screwed up. Okay. Can we let it go? We have a lot of stuff to talk about on this particular episode and a little bit of news. So why don't you tell us and the listeners, in case they're just tuning in, what week we're going to be talking about? What's this one about?
All right. Episode 3 from season 3, known as Magenta. Thank you for helping me figure out the correct pronunciation. Originally aired on October 18th, 2016, written by Judalina Neera and David Cobb, and directed by Armin V. Kevorkian. That's a mouthful there. Well, nothing says first date more than an awkward superhero that doesn't know the best way to impress. Barry and Iris try to jump right into the whole relationship thing, but it isn't going quite as they hoped. But luckily, in the middle of their romantic evening, they get called to Star Labs to witness a brand new breach opening. Who could be causing it? Never fear, it's just good old Harry Wells and his daughter, Jessie. But she seems to be moving a little bit faster than usual because she's now developed speed from her exposure to the particle accelerator accident last year, which obviously still happened, just like we saw it. This makes Wally more than a little jealous, seeing as how he seems to be as slow as ever. Harry is totally thrilled that his daughter now has superpowers. Not... He wants everyone from Cisco to Caitlin to try to talk her out of a future career as a speedster. But as usual, plans for preventing the Harrison Wells book of fatherhood aren't panning out in his favor. Meanwhile, in storyline B, Frankie Kane is a foster kid with a rough life, and her completely idiotic, abusive foster father has finally pushed her too far. Not a wise thing to do, ever, but especially if they're a metahuman with the ability to move incredibly large and heavy objects. So Jesse's just going to have to help the Flash wrangle this newest meta in. That is, of course, if we can keep stupid Julian from antagonizing the poor kid to do something deadly first. Isn't it?
Jeez. Some people just don't know how to talk to kids. I'm just telling you. That's just, you know.
Part of me thinks that it was on purpose. It seemed all a little too... Pat, you know, I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. If I was Joan Barry, I would have gone and tackled the dude before he had gotten that far. But
yeah.
So we'll see.
I guess Barry could have interceded at some point. But, you know,
well, he is a supervisor, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I was shouting through the episode. I'm like, when we knew that something was about to happen, but before anything had happened, I'm like, oh, God, please don't do anything to the mural. Because I love that mural in
Me
the police
too.
Station.
So I'm wondering if they're going to, change it.
Barry screwed that up, too?
He screwed up the mural.
Actually, I guess it's more of a bas-relief, technically.
True, I suppose that's true. Well, either way, they're going to have to either, super glue that thing together or...
rehang it.
yeah, rehang it up. Maybe it'll just, have a big crack in it. That'll be a new... superhero.
Then they could introduce Liberty Bell. That's another cool character from the All-Star Squadron, like Jesse Quick.
That sounds like I could have planned that, but that just happened.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a little bit of news this week I kind of want to get into. Okay. And the first one came from Entertainment Weekly.
Entertainment Weekly. You love this magazine.
Apparently. I do love this magazine. I get a lot of my entertainment from this magazine. Weekly.
How often do you get it?
Yes, weekly. Except for this one is a bi-weekly one.
Yeah, of course.
Now, do you read Entertainment Weekly?
No. I if it has a Star Wars cover story on it, then I'll get it and usually just read the Star Wars.
So monthly, really.
Yeah. At this point, for the next several years, yeah. Probably.
Well, there was a cool cover, which you may even want to pick up on this, because looking straight at me with just... ooh, man, just chilling eyes that burn down deep into my soul is Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange on the cover.
Humperdinck.
That's it. That's the one. Very good.
Cumberbatch, quasi, whatever.
Actually, I think his name is pronounced Magenta. Anyway, this is a double issue of Entertainment Weekly. So it's going to be out for a couple weeks. I have a feeling that they usually do that when they give their employees a week off, So, because it usually happens around holidays, right?
Yeah, it definitely does. I know it happens around Christmas time.
Yeah, 4th of July. Anyway, this is a double episode. It's a two-parter. It's a double issue, so it's twice as big, but it also covers the weeks of October 21st and 28th. And so it's number 1436 and 1437. But what I thought was cool for our news was that the cover story, apart from Doctor Strange and that movie coming out, is the 50 most powerful superheroes.
That sounds like there's a good reason why we're talking about it on our Flash podcast.
Of course. Now, this isn't just another list that they have put together. It's they've actually got –
it's not a random list, actually.
It's not like a reader survey list, even.
Yeah, popularity contest
right.
list.
It's actually, I've got a little system here. And of course, we're talking about it because Flash does make it on this list. Rather high, too, actually. So let me really quickly break down how they rank these characters, because I really like the way they do it. They have a system where they break it down into different categories. Nine different categories, actually. And is it nine? Yeah, nine different categories. And the first one and the most point value category is cultural impact, worth 20 points. And then each of the following is worth 10 points. Cultural impact is a great way to rank these characters, I think.
Yeah, that's a really interesting metric that I have not seen used before.
Yeah. Well, they also use – I'll just run these through real quick here. Bankability, design – modern relevance, which is good because that would have been a different list years ago, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The mythology of the character, who their nemeses are, the originality, the personality, and the powers that they have. And then they add up all those points and they tell you what they are. So they start off – I'll tell you who the most powerful one is here, which I really liked. What'd you think of this one? Did you appreciate this number one?
I could, yeah. I thought it was interesting. I didn't read the little blurb about it. I just was looking at the chart, but I thought it was appropriate given what's going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm. And so number one was actually Wonder Woman with a total score of 90.3, and the top categories that she scored high in was cultural impact, modern relevance, and originality. And seeing as how she was like the original, I think, female superhero, and she's been around all these years, I would really have to kind of agree with her ranking on this, just because there's been a lot of female superheroes over the years that have come and gone, and for somebody to last 75 years as a female superhero, that really shows you the influence of that character.
Yeah, December 1941 was her first appearance. So yeah, coming up here in a couple months, 75 years. That's amazing.
That is amazing. So, but this is all about the Flash, and so Flash scored a 10 on the list.
Which, wow. Okay, so the 10th out of 50.
10th out of 50, and considering you got the biggies. Like Superman, Iron Man, Wolverine, Captain America, Batman, of course, Spider-Man. For the Flash ranking as number 10, I think that's actually pretty good. I really was pleased with that. He got a 77.5, and the top categories were modern relevance, and I believe that's because of the CW show. You know, he's in Justice League 2, but that really hasn't come out yet. So
right, right.
And of course, this I'm sure scored him high was Nemesis, because that he's got probably out of all of them on any list, he's got the coolest list of villains.
He does, definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, check that out. It'll be out for a couple weeks because it's a double issue, and I thought it was an interesting read. Plus, they give you the list of everybody in the back in a nice little handy-to-read chart.
That's pretty cool.
Now, did you see this? I just saw this today. There is a new book out, a new Flash book.
I had not seen this. I'm clicking through to look at it right now. I've never heard of this.
So I saw somebody, I don't even know where I saw this, maybe on Twitter today, somebody posted the art and making of The Flash. And we're talking CW Flash here, not the comic book Flash.
Yeah, I thought it would have been the comic book, so that's cool.
I didn't even know this was coming out, but it's just a resource for fans of the TV show Flash, and they have pictures, interviews, cast and crew. I know I don't see it here on Amazon, the picture that I saw, but the picture I saw posted on Twitter even had a picture of John Wesley Shipp in his J. Garrick Flash uniform. So this is it's a fairly recent production with things that have happened recently in the show.
Well, it shows it just came out this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
Amazon has it listed for $24.95. And man, I'm going to have to seriously get this, like pick this up or ask for it from Santa or something.
Yeah, 176 pages from Titan Books, so yeah. Pretty cool. Oh, yeah, I'll have to definitely take a look at that more.
Just be careful when you open it and make sure the Trickster didn't send it to you. That's
That would be horrible. So, well, speaking of the Trickster, thank you for that segue. Fans of Mark Hamill should rejoice because I'm going to tell you this. He's returning to the show this season. Now,
yes!
he doesn't quite look like what we've seen him look like before. So
no. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm okay with that.
Now the article I'm looking at said that he looks more like Danny DeVito's Penguin from Batman Returns, but I think he looks a lot more Joker-ish, right?
Yeah,
he's got kind of purplish hair and stuff, and it could have something to do with Flashpoint, or as some have speculated, it could have something to do with an Earth 2 version of the Trickster. So I would guess that come the beginning, either I'm guessing he will show up after winter break. I'm guessing right at the beginning of the next year, just kind of the shooting time that they're working with and stuff.
That sounds about right. Plus, I guess it doesn't really matter. Well, I was going to say where the story looks like it's going now, but I agree with you. He looks a little bit like the Joker. I'm thinking Flashpoint, not so much Earth 2. I think they've kind of used that in season 2. I don't think they'll go back to villains from Earth 2, except for Grodd.
What if it's Flashpoint on Earth 2?
Oh, there you go. No, we've established that didn't happen.
Oh, that's
according
true.
To, right. According to Harry Wells, so maybe we'll talk about that a little bit.
What the heck does he know? Come on. So, all right, well, let's go into this
and yes,
we can,
for sure.
We can discuss that in more depth.
All right, well, look at we start off with some nice little CW romance. It's Barry's getting together with Iris. now,
boom, chicka, wow, wow. No, not really. It's a way more awkward. It's awkward for the CW even.
Yeah, it is. They are trying really, really hard. Way too hard.
Barry and Iris. I mean, not the show.
Barry and Iris. They're trying way too hard. Well, and you know, maybe the show. Maybe the show has felt that they are have spent a lot of time with these two, you know, teasing their relationship, and now we gotta get them together. We have to have them do something. And I mean, I don't think that's what they're doing. But Barry and Iris are for sure they're trying too hard. Matter of fact, I think that they're probably trying so hard that they're probably going to blow it for a while. And I think actually these two are going to split up at some point in this season.
Again.
They're just going to decide, oh, you know, this just isn't working. But I don't know. By the end of the episode, it felt like Barry kind of had the right idea. Look, let's just be ourselves, you know? We've known each other since we were kids. We should just be acting normal. We shouldn't be trying to do what you think you're supposed to do on a date.
What I'm still trying to wrap my head around, and the thing that's just confusing for me, it's I guess everything has happened exactly as we've seen it from seasons one and two, except for where they tell us something is different. Is that correct, or is that what you are getting from this?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's how it seems, and there's probably some stuff that we don't know is different yet, and they will tell us. But yeah, so far it seems like everything's pretty much different. So you're saying like them growing up together and having the same experiences and everything, that's all happened. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Because, you know, like I wasn't sure that we had all the same experiences with like the particle accelerator explosion and Jesse and Wally, except that they showed it to us in the previously on.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, okay, well that seems to work. So
well, we know that they didn't kiss before this last week.
Which timeline are we in? Right. So
so some things are a little different, but I think that for the most part, their relationship and their experiences that they've had have pretty much been the same.
Okay. Yeah. It's just when you do these kind of timelines, I think it's really important to put the stuff in the previously on, and then we as viewers really need to pay attention to that. Usually I just kind of gloss over that. But with this now, I'm feeling like, wow, I really do need to know what happened before, because we've been to so many different timelines and different Earths and stuff, and it's getting confusing. And for, you know, we follow the show pretty closely, so I can only imagine how like an average viewer might feel.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit to you, I'm struggling a little bit with the differences in this world in this season. I am okay with it because I don't want every season to be the same. I like things that make each particular season stand out. So I'm going along with it and I'm enjoying it, but it is hard when you've put 2 years of viewing into it and all of a sudden a lot of the things that you knew and liked and appreciated are gone or different.
Right.
So that is tough. One little thing I thought was kind of cute was the whole scene at the beginning when he's with Julian and he's waiting to go on this date and nervous, you know, because it's kind of basically like their first real date, right?
Right, right.
I thought that was cute. And I don't know if have you ever heard of the song The Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego?
No, I do not believe I have.
So on another podcast that I'm on, we did a musical episode with superhero songs this summer, and I found this song called The Ballad of Barry Allen, and it's kind of a fun song. It talks about what it's like to be a speedster and how things go real slow, and you can see like a mosquito's wings beating or something like that. And that whole scene where he's watching the drips of water go and the clock go real slow, it reminded me of that song. It was pretty cool. It's kind of a fun song if you guys ever look it up. It's probably on YouTube somewhere, Ballad of Barry Allen. But so let's talk about Julian a little bit.
Julian's a swell guy.
Dude, what's this guy's problem?
He's English and he's played by a bad guy. And he's a bad English guy. I mean, he's the villain. He's obviously the villain.
Oh, the super villain or just the mean guy?
Hmm. I still stand by my statement, which I believe I made last week, that they want us to believe that he's the bad guy, so we're going to assume that he's not. But in fact, he really will be the bad guy. Bad guy. So, like Dr. Alchemy.
Misdirection.
Yes. Misdirection by hiding him in plain sight, like they've done the last two seasons. But yeah, I don't know what his problem is. You know, it's like...
Maybe Barry needs to get him a girlfriend. He needs to loosen up a little bit.
Sure. Hey, I'm not dating Iris currently, so here you go. The thing that really... One of the weird things about this, there's just some little foibles in this particular episode. One of them is... So Julian is the supervisor, which... To me, it sounds like he's the senior lab tech and Barry is not. Not necessarily that he is Barry's boss, because I believe he says, in fact, that he is not actually his boss, but he is the supervisor, the senior tech or whatever. But, like, really, just because you're, you know, the senior person there, you're going to lecture Barry about leaving on time is, you know, from 10 to 7, not 6:58, not 6:59, but 7. It's like, dude... Shut up. I've definitely had coworkers that fall into this, like, you know, they're more than happy to tell you their, you know, what you're doing wrong, right? They have obviously so much time on their hands that they can do their job and tell you exactly how you're not doing yours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard that's rough.
Yeah, you don't have anything going on like that.
No,
I'm sure.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's all sunshine and rainbows.
Definitely. Well, he does say some suspicious things, especially when he's investigating things, when he had was looking into Magenta's connection, I guess, to the other skin husks that they had found. But and I'm not, you know, when Barry's working in the same office, why he doesn't trust him with cases, and I don't know, maybe it's like that for a CSI, that, you know, they keep their cases to themselves, but yeah. He seems very, very... untrusting professionally of Barry, not just
very
personally.
Guarded.
Very guarded, yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll have to keep an eye on him, but not a nice guy. Almost got his comeuppance in this one, but luckily Barry was there to pull his butt out of the fire.
Right. Just the line that he says at the very end of the episode, you know, when they're talking about, you know, oh, well, maybe it's an invisible meta. Or something like that. And then he's like, do you believe in ghosts, Alan? And I'm like, why are you reading that so creepy? That is like, just, that's not necessary to say it like that, which, you know, makes it seem over the top. But, you know, again, kind of feeds into my idea that
yeah,
he really
true.
Is the bad guy.
You know, he would fit in really well as a character on The Office.
Now, I will admit this, that I have only seen a few episodes of The Office. I'm not really all that familiar with the show.
He's just got that over-the-top thing, you know, with that really strong personality that's so easy to dislike. But all right, so look at this. They get their date interrupted by a call from Cisco. They come in. There's a new breach opening. And at first I thought well, wait a second. Why, man, that took a long time for that breach to open and them to come through. And then I thought, well, no, it didn't. He just came right from the restaurant as soon as he got there. It was probably only a couple seconds.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly.
So Harry pops
like
out.
Like it was happening, right? And it just, boom, and they called him. So
yeah. Yeah. Which you can do when you're the Flash.
Yeah.
He stopped that bank robbery really, really fast, too. I wonder. Just put the bank robber right in the car, maybe. I don't know what he did. But
yeah.
You know, Harry pops out first. And then, of course, Jesse doesn't just pop out. She actually comes out, races around the room a few times, and then like, hey, what's up?
That was fun. That was
it was
fun.
It was fun. There was a lot of actually fun scenes with Harrison Wells. I have missed him this season. He needs to stick around because he's an important part of the team.
I know. Two episodes without him seems like a lot.
It does. I will. He was a little over-the-top goofy this week. Which I don't mind if they don't keep him like that, because that's just not in his character. Uh-huh. But, you know, I mean, he was flustered. He was with his buddy Cisco again, which, you know, he probably wouldn't say my buddy Cisco, but it's his buddy Cisco. I mean, so
yeah,
he started acting like his good self again after those two had become friends last season.
As an aside, Cisco is back mostly to where he was before.
Yeah, he's definitely closer. He's not mopey anymore.
Yeah, he was wearing t-shirts.
That's good. Yeah, I'm sure he'll continue to be like that at least until he finds out. What? My brother wasn't dead until Barry screwed this up. Thanks a lot. Okay. Wells doesn't want Jesse to put herself in danger. Well, I'm wondering, and I guess maybe he even didn't know this, but what exactly did he want from Caitlin and Cisco? What did he want them to tell her to not run or to just not try to, you know, fight crime, I guess? Or what is it exactly he was after as a dad?
Not run, Jesse, not run.
They cut that line out. That was,
yeah,
they found it didn't work well with target audiences.
I think he was, like you said, he was flustered, and he, as a parent, I can relate to, you know, you've told your kid one thing, you try to say it in a different way, you try to say it in another way, you say it again and again, and oh my gosh, why aren't you just listening to me? Would you try talking to this person? It's just kind of one of those frustration things. It's just like, you go talk to them for me, and maybe you saying what I just said will result in a potential change in attitude or something like that. So I think maybe that's what he was trying to do. He was just so fed up and he wanted somebody else to give it a shot. But of course they, you know, not it. I got powers, dude. I'm not the one person that should talk to her. And of course, Caitlin's like, oh yeah, powers. I don't know anything about those.
Powers. What are powers? No, I haven't heard of powers. No.
What do we know about powers?
He's a horrible liar. He's always been a horrible liar.
It seemed really awkward with her. So, but Caitlin goes and, you know, ends up talking to Jesse, which seems to kind of blow everything off. But, it was that, instead of pushing Harry away, you know, he's actually coming closer to Jesse, right? So that's something that I think it was interesting that Caitlin was the one that pointed this out, because I think the line was something like, you know, he's concerned for you, and like at least he's not pushing you away, or maybe it was that he was drawing her closer or something like that, because he's a father that cares, right? And that's, if there's any one fault with Harry's character, is that he actually cares too much, even though he probably would tell you that he doesn't care at all. You know, like you were saying about my buddy Cisco kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's how he is towards everybody else, but we know how close he is to Jesse. And I would be overprotective too, especially if she'd been, you know, held captive for, 8 months or something by Zoom.
Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, and he does, but he does go over the top a little bit, and you know,
it's over the top because there's really nothing he can do about this. You know, I mean, he's not going to be able to take away her speed. Well, I guess technically he could, because they know how, don't they?
True, it's his lack of control over the situation, and that,
right.
I think in regular people's lives, I mean, that's where we get the most anxiety from. It's, you know, like I can handle all sorts of situations, but it's those situations where I don't actually have control that those are the ones that tend to escalate and freak me out more than, you know, other situations. And I think that's really how he is as well. But the point I wanted to get to on this was that I found it interesting in the way that Caitlin delivered this line and the fact that she was saying it, because she was talking about how Harry, you know, is coming to Jesse and not pushing him away. And I'm actually wondering if that's something that Caitlin is afraid of, because we don't know. So in the original timeline, I think her family was deceased and we know that she didn't have powers. In the Earth 2 timeline, we know that Killer Frost had some really bad relationships with her mom, I believe, and her brother. She was close to her brother, but he had died or something. Or
yeah, maybe something serious like that that had put some strain on their relationship.
Right. So I'm wondering if there is something similar in this timeline now, and as her powers are manifesting, she is trying to push her parents away, and that's why she's so impressed that Harry is actually coming to her, and she's worried about how her parents, or maybe it's just her mom, will react to finding out that she's got powers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a little foreshadowing.
I hope that storyline is coming up soon. I'm a little I'm really curious to see what they're going to do with Caitlin.
Well, the Kevin Smith episode is number 8, which I believe has a title that relates to Caitlin. So
well, he'd be a good one for that kind of relationship, as we've found out. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does with this and where they've gotten the character to by the time he has to take over that episode.
So Jesse's arrival has really made Caitlin think. It's really made Wally think. Wally's having a little moment. These little young millennials here, they're having trouble dealing with these issues. Wally's getting really reckless. Wally is he wants his speed bad. I was shocked that a guy as smart as Wally would try something so stupid as to stand out in the middle of the street like that.
I'm kind of at a loss for words. I don't know. Yeah, it was silly and it was stupid and it was reckless.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. I was almost as mad at him as Barry was when they went back in and he was yelling at him. But So you got this truck coming down. You thought he was driving a little recklessly, this truck?
Oh my God. So we saw that there was like, there was a lane, but there's also like the little shoulder area where cars are parked. And you can see cars that are parked there. And this guy is like driving like a fucking maniac down the lane. And then he veers even closer to the curb, like going like 40. What's he? I see people drive weird in the city, but that's
Yeah. Extreme. When I went back and watched it, it almost looked like he had kind of lost control because he was trying to stop for Wally, but yeah, he was definitely going.
He does, but it's after he makes a really drastic move, even closer to the curb. It was a good stunt. I thought it was really impressive because they actually had someone standing in the street and they skid a car to a stop close to him. I thought the stunt driver did a really good job with that, but kind of the setup for it, and in conjunction with why is Wally being so stupid? Again, another little foible in the episode. It was a little off.
Wally and Jesse have an interesting relationship. I hope it kind of develops into something bigger. It doesn't even need to be like a romantic relationship or anything like that. Just good friends, good partners. That obviously Wally's going to get power. I shouldn't say obviously. Apparently, seemingly, Wally is going to get powers here in the future.
Think it's more than just from the Flashpoint episode?
I think so. I think they will eventually give him power somehow. I don't know. May be a while, though. But I have some questions about Wally and the possibility of having powers. Because he had powers in the Flashpoint episode, has he been having dreams or has he been hearing alchemy? And I think we even talked about last week. We said alchemy's looking for bad guys. Excuse me, Dr. Alchemy. He didn't go to, 4 years of evil bad guy school to be called just Alchemy.
Very considerate.
He's looking for bad guys, it looks like. Didn't work out so well with Frankie, right? And obviously she had some anger issues there. But maybe, he's not being that picky. Maybe he's finding people that had powers and then trying to exploit that and make them more evil than they would have been otherwise. Right. So maybe Wally is hearing something or having dreams.
I had not even considered that at this point. So that's an interesting take on it. I should watch the episode again with that in mind because that could be implying things that's why he's taking these risks.
Yeah, watch his reactions when they discuss things like that. Not even specifically alchemy, just hearing voices. And I think he even did this something like this last week. It just watch how he kind of reacts when he hears those things. It almost seems like he is getting something or having memories or something of the past. Joe clearly isn't, because Joe's like, yeah, no power there. He's all good. Nope. I'm dad cop. We're good.
Yeah. Dad cop. I like that. That was a nice little bit.
That was awesome.
You know, because Barry's like, you know, you're like a second daughter. But what I was going to say with Wally, that is a possibility. Now, we do know that there have been 5 husks found around the city, and 2 of those belong to Edward Claris and Frankie Kane. So there's potentially 3 other characters around. Now, it seems like the husk shows up as you've kind of like after you've changed.
Yeah.
Into this, like you slough off this thing or whatever. I'm not.
Yeah, almost like a, I don't want to say a cocoon, but it's just like your old self or this timeline self. It's like a time, can't say remnant. But it's like time waste or something, you know? And once you take that off, your body has gone kind of back into the other time. Ooh, that's interesting. That just popped into my head.
Yeah.
But it's almost like you're taking away the force field that's keeping out that possibility of the timeline, you know?
Yeah. Now, we're assuming that these other 3 would be characters that we just haven't seen yet that are running around. So, and since Joe says Wally doesn't have powers, not that he necessarily is the supreme authority on it, but based on this episode, Wally doesn't have powers yet. So,
right.
He is probably not one of those other husks.
So you said Claris and you said Frankie.
Frankie, yeah.
I'm guessing one will be Mirror Master because of what we've seen. Now, I know we saw that in the trailer for next week, but we also have seen alchemy, you know, communicating through reflective surfaces.
Through the reflection, yep. Uh-huh.
So I'm going to say Mirror Master. And then I'm also going to say Savitar. And that is just based on what we said last week with the arm that ended up indeed killing Claris. We found out this week he is dead. So,
okay, but didn't we see the video from the cell this week and they identified the killer? Oh, no, they said it was invisible.
No, they couldn't see it. That's what Julian was asking about ghosts, right?
See, now, I was thinking that's alchemy, that he was using Mirror Master to get into the cell, and that's how he killed him. But yeah, you're right.
That is a possibility.
You said the arm was different last week.
It looked armored, right? And we don't really know. I don't even know that we've seen Alchemy's arm, but I'm kind of speculating on that. So I'm thinking that was Savitar. I even saw someone – I don't think I buy this, but I did see someone say, what if Wally ends up being Savitar? But it doesn't make any sense if that's the arm, but whatever. We can talk about that once we see if Wally's getting his speed. But okay, so anyway, my other thing. So those are that would be 4. If it is Savitar, Mirror Master, Frankie, and Claris, then that would be 4. We still don't know the 5th one,
right? Unless alchemy becoming alchemy was the other one potentially.
Oh, well, I guess that could be 2.
Yeah.
Now you think Frankie's in danger now? Did I even already ask you that? Now that she's not working for what's his nugget, alchemy anymore. Is she in danger like Claris is?
Potentially, but she fought. So Claris's Flashpoint self took over the current timeline's Claris. So the Claris from this timeline doesn't exist anymore. He was consumed or absorbed or whatever you want to say by the Flashpoint version. Now Frankie fought the Flashpoint version from taking her over, the Magenta. So Frankie, let's look at it this way. Frankie is the character from the current timeline where things are screwed up.
Okay.
And Magenta is the character from Flashpoint.
Okay.
So Frankie fought Magenta off and kind of expelled her. So I think she may be okay because like that didn't take. It seems like Dr. Alchemy is concerned when he's got rogue Flashpoint characters, but she wouldn't have this power anymore, presumably, because the Flashpoint did not take. So there's probably no use for her one way or the other.
So no reason to punish her for it.
Right. And Claris may only have been punished by Dr. Alchemy, potentially, again, because he got caught. So you could look at it in either of those ways, I guess.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I'm wondering, and if Sisko has any way to see who Alchemy might be targeting, you know, using his powers to reveal who some of these people might be from Flashpoint. It seems like that might be something he would be able to do.
Yeah, we've seen Sisko use more offensive powers like we talked about last week. Maybe this timeline, Sisko hasn't learned how to use powers to see through the dimensions. But, you know, we've seen that in the previous episode or in, you know, from last season. That's what he did. So if we're assuming that most of the stuff happened the way we know it happened, then maybe he can do that. But maybe it might be he has to discover that power again.
That could be. It could be. Or he just hasn't tried yet. Maybe that hasn't occurred to them yet. So, and you might even see that Wally is getting a power, sees the future, or sees that he had it or something. And that might be a good indicator, too. Now, speaking of the powers, and Jesse's got this speed now, and they're assuming from the particle accelerator, something that I noticed they really made a point of showing her eating all the time. There was at least two times when they really made that stand out. Right. And now I know that they have discussed that a little bit with Barry, especially early in the first season.
As the setup, right. And then they just kind of don't do it anymore because we assume that happens.
Yeah, Sisko developed some power bars or something, which he made reference to in this
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, they said the power bars were in the kitchen or wherever.
But I thought it was curious that they kept making a point of that. And I'm wondering if maybe her speed isn't quite as stable, I guess, as Barry's.
Okay.
You know, she's got the speed, but maybe it's not permanent. Maybe it's not stable, and there's going to be a little bit of a twist on her powers. But either way, by the end, she's got herself a nice little uniform.
Yeah, which looks. I'm going to have to go back and get the screenshots from the. Who was the female speedster from last season that we talked about? I can't remember her name now.
Blah, blah, blah.
But I had made the prediction at the time. Right, yeah, if you think of it, just let me know. But I had made the prediction at the time that because she sacrificed herself or died or whatever, that they had her uniform. And I was like, well, when Jesse gets her powers, that will probably be her uniform. Now, the mask looks similar from the still I've seen from next week's episode that they were using to advertise it. I think the costume's obviously different because it does have the lightning bolt symbol on the front, but I'm trying to remember if the rest of the costume is similar or not.
Trajectory is who we were talking about.
Yes, thank you.
Trajectory. You know, it does look a little bit similar. Obviously, it's got the bolt of lightning. And they showed it kind of folded up in the box, and the preview for next week was, oh man, it is a definite blink and you miss it kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's very quick. I could even had a hard time pausing on it, but, they're very similar. They have a couple things that could be, from that same costume. He made it awful quick too, if it wasn't, but,
right.
So we got another speedster. I know people are already a little concerned about that, but how are you feeling about this team getting bigger?
That's fine. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with a couple speedsters, and the more you get, the more potential issues you have. But I like having these characters around. I hope they do stay for a while.
Yeah, I don't mind them. The interactions with them are nice. And then I started thinking about why they're bringing them all in like this. And then I kind of started thinking about Arrow and how that was pretty successful to put the team together. You know, at first it was Green Arrow working very much alone. And then he had a couple different people helping him kind of off to the side, but eventually he did get a nice little team going. And I'm wondering if they're kind of shooting for a dynamic kind of like that.
So, probably. That makes a good sense. The one thing I would be concerned with them is you get too many speedsters working together, and then why can't you solve the problems that you need to solve for this week's episode? You know, it ends up coming down to, well, someone's speed is on the fritz, or, you know, then you have these weird plot points that prevent characters from using their speed because they're so, you know, kind of like the transporter on Star Trek. You know, it's conveniently always broken and never can do what it needs to do when it needs to do it. So they have to find some other ways.
Well, I think when they made the decision to bring Wally in, they really had to think hard about how they were going to use his speed. And then the same thing with Jesse, because, man, they brought in Jesse Quick as a character who's been in the comics for many, many years, but in a completely different way, as the daughter of a character that doesn't even exist in the comic universe. So right. When they made the decision to bring both of those characters in, I hope they had a plan of how not to overuse the idea of having so many speedsters. But again, I will remind, I'm sure we've said this several times, in the comic books, there are dozens of speedsters that help Wally, or I said Wally, Wally, Barry, whoever's the Flash, yeah. helps them.
And that's true. I mean, and it, you know, it's just, it's different in the comics than it is on TV. The nature of having more speedsters,
yeah,
because things obviously can go really, really big in the comics and it doesn't cost a lot more.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do with this. But right now I'm, you know, it's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
I am too. Very much so. Well, there are a few more changes I just thought we should share this week that we didn't talk about last week. Of course, the big one was a surprise to Barry, who's been there already. So Barry and Harry and Jesse was the new Speed Lab.
Very cool new set they've got where they can it looks like it's built into or part of the particle accelerator track or something like that.
That's what it kind of seemed like to me. It reminded me of a fitness center with a track on the top.
Yeah.
But does this – now I want to know, does this track take place of the cosmic treadmill?
Hmm.
I didn't see true. That in there.
Yeah, I didn't see it in there either, and we haven't really been – to the other part of the lab where that is. I mean, we've been in the main part of the lab where the computers are, but the cosmic treadmill was kind of in that back room.
Right. Well, I hope they don't, you know, partly because of the history of the cosmic treadmill, but also because I do really like the effects that they use when Barry's running on that cosmic treadmill, as opposed to just showing the lightning that they're running around the room real fast.
Uh-huh.
They're two different effects. Both of them are effective, but I like the cosmic treadmill one every once in a while.
Yeah, I agree.
So Barry, a little bit different relationship with Joe, huh? Now this post Flashpoint,
it seems like it. I was trying to figure out how much Joe was joking. Like when Joe says he's joking about it at the end, I was trying to figure out like how much is he joking about?
Barry was trying to figure that out too.
Is Joe just busting his balls or something, or like what?
Barry just was so he's like a second daughter, and Barry just kind of walks away.
Yeah, that's okay. Weird. Things that make you go,
yeah. And then we find out that everyone at the Star Labs team they have the little watches, little emergency Apple Watch text thingies.
They have panic buttons. He said, like on their phones or something, but maybe it's a watch. But I figured it's. It's like the Superman signal watch that Jimmy Olsen uses.
Wasn't it something Cisco showed on his wrist, I thought? Or maybe not. Maybe I'm thinking of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. They had some watches on there. So
They had watches on S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, I don't remember if Cisco showed something, but he said it was something. I believe he said it was something they had installed on everyone's phone.
Oh, okay.
So that they
little panic buttons.
In case there were problems, and Barry's like, oh, well, that's a pretty good idea that didn't exist before. So
maybe the
improvements.
Maybe the writers are going through the little details. I said, oh, why didn't we do this in season one and two? And they're just kind of throwing them in now because they can.
It can close off some different interesting little plot holes or little things that people may have pointed out on, you know, Twitter or something like that, or that they figured out, you know, like, well, you know, they've got all this tech. Why can't they just have little warning devices? You know, because everyone's calling and texting on their phones and stuff like that. So why not have a panic button or something like that?
Very much. All right.
Very clever.
Well, that, you know, that was Magenta, kind of a villain of the week thing. She may be back. Not sure.
Potential.
Potentially.
It took me about 45 minutes worth of the episode to figure out where I recognize this actress from, too.
Did you figure it out?
Yeah. So with the help of one of my friends, if you've seen White House Down, the it's the film with the guy from Magic Mike. I can't even think of
Barack
his name
Obama. Right. Oh no, that's a different White House movie.
well, anyway, so it's she's the daughter of the main character who is kidnapped at the White House as part of a group and he has to rescue her. Channing Tatum.
Gotcha. That's Channing Tatum. Yeah, I have not seen that movie, but
it's fun. It's by the guys that did Independence Day and
oh, there you go,
Stargate.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a popcorn movie, and Jamie Foxx plays the president, and which is pretty. He's pretty funny in it. It's not as good as the other White House movie that came out around the same time called Olympus Has Fallen, with Gerard Butler, which is. The White House Down, I think, is PG-13. Well, Olympus Has Fallen is really R. It's pretty violent, but it deals with a similar premise, but not as humorously.
Ah, gotcha. So, well, and Magenta is a character that's been around for a while. She was a friend of Wally West, a childhood friend of Wally West, and kind of grew up. And then, just like in the comic, you know, she had the anger issues, and that's kind of what turned her bad and into Magenta. And so she's got a little bit of a history in Flash.
Oh, she was on the Teen Titans, I see here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And her name made a little more sense, with her uniform or costume because it was, you know, Magenta. But she still had very similar, powers as somebody that had a close name to her, but Magneto.
Oh, Magento?
Magento, yes. That's a different franchise. So yeah, we don't talk about Magento. All right, so man, tons of stuff to see, even though this was kind of a one-off episode. It had a lot of character building and new things for us to watch. Plus, you cannot beat that Harry Wells is back. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from him. And I'm not going to say not, because I seriously meant it.
Hey, all right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you tell me feedback, right?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, we got this, we got a great note from Jared on Facebook, and I purposely held off discussing this earlier because, like, this totally occurred to me as well. He said, "Hey guys, great to have you back. Two quick questions. First, why don't Jesse's clothes burn up at high speeds like Barry's did at first? Secondly, is it all but a guarantee that Wally is going to go to Alchemy based on the look that he was giving Team Flash when talking to Magenta? So, like, is he going to go to Alchemy,
to get powers? Why didn't you think about that?
Yeah.
But Jared, I think he is. I think he's going to do that.
That's a good – yeah. I mean, I think there's definitely potential for that. I think that's a really good insight there. To answer the question about why the clothes aren't burning off at high speeds, this is an 8 o'clock show, and it's TV PG for all ages.
So deleted scenes Blu-ray? Is that what you're saying?
I'm hoping. I mean, maybe.
Well, hey, I actually have a thought on that. And I don't know that there's enough evidence to support this claim, but we'll...
She's not as fast as what you're going to say, right?
That's not what I'm going to say, but that's actually a good thought, too. Now, his clothes were burning off, and as a matter of fact, I think he also did that to Felicity at one point, right? Where she had to take her shirt off, even though it's an 8 o'clock show. But if I remember correctly from the comics, there's something about the Speed Force that you can do to kind of protect yourself from that kind of thing. And
like an aura.
Yeah, like an aura and people that you are carrying. So, for example, Iris, right? He carried Iris.
Oh, at the end of the episode, yeah.
And her hair wasn't even messed up.
So, my son was like, "What? Look at her hair. It's still perfect." And I was like, "Dude, you are looking at the funniest things."
but see, so that's what I kind of think. I think it has something to do with the Speed Force aura. And I actually think that I'm not even like making excuses or being an apologist for that. I actually think that it does have something to do with that. And
okay.
So I said he did that to Felicity and even his own clothes, but I don't think he had that kind of control over it yet. So
yeah, possibly.
And even if that's not why, I just figured it out and was an apologist. So it worked out both ways.
And next week on The Flash, they're going to say, well, why didn't this happen? And Barry's going to be like, oh, it's because of the Speed Force. Because the Speed Force is miraculous and can do all sorts of things.
It is. But I will say this, though. Once she got there and they were doing lots of tests on her, in another scene, she had a Star Labs t-shirt on. So maybe it did burn off.
I think just when you're doing getting tests done on you at Star Labs, they require you to wear the Star Labs t-shirt.
Oh, just for promotional purposes, that kind of thing?
Right.
Well, you have to buy it, too. You have to pay for it.
they go through more t-shirts. They also didn't pack. I mean, they came across in a breach. You'd think you'd bring like a suitcase or something. I don't know where they think they're getting all their stuff.
They're good friends. They have gone through a lot of really tough times. Harrison has a closet there that he keeps stuff in, okay? He's even got a toothbrush there. So just saying, you know, they're close. They're tight.
Nice.
So let's see. We don't have very much time for the references. I'm not sure if we're going to get through them all this week. You want to run down the list as fast as you can so we can make sure we have time?
I'll go through the list here.
Okay.
Not. So that was the reference, not, which was a common phrase uttered by Wayne Campbell from Wayne's World. Don't know why Harry was so like stuck in the 90s in this episode, but he was.
three times. Three times might have been a little too much.
Was it three? Okay, yeah. I can't think I counted two, but.
Yeah, no, there was three. I watched it again. No, it was cute. As long as they, like I think I said this at the beginning, but if they don't keep him that goofy every week, you know, for this week, I think it worked just fine. It was fun. And actually, to a point, I think he was doing it after a while just to get on people's nerves because he knew it bothered him. So that seems like something he would do for sure. But hey. So that's it. That's the only reference, man. Mm. No fancy t-shirts from Cisco, no street signs, no nothing.
No, it was Central City Hospital. That was pretty straightforward.
I didn't even see the police station Easter egg that Grant Gustin promised us. So
I was looking for that as well. Oh, the and duck. You know something I forgot to mention last week, speaking of the police station? They always use one shot of the police station. They show the steps going up.
Oh, right.
But last week they used the shot of the police station from the original pilot. If you recall when we talked about this originally, the pilot and the one that was released were slightly different. They had different sequences. I have I have some stuff that I posted at randomchatter.com if you guys go there and search for The Flash. If you go back to season one, you know, episode 101 time, it's like October of 2014, you'll see the story. But they started originally with a shot of the police station where they panned up an exterior to a very tall tower.
Uh-huh.
And they've never used that again. And that was the exterior they used last week. So
they must have forgot they had it. And they go like, hey, remember the shot?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. But it was just something that I just remembered about. So I thought that was kind of cool.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to next week because there's someone coming you and I have been talking about for 2 years. So I'm glad they're finally getting to that person. And
Mr. Eminem.
That's right. The little rapping. So we'll talk about that next week. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. Anybody that is a new listener to the show, welcome. We hope you come back week after week and join in on the fun with us. But hey, for this week, that is all the time we have. And we have got to run.
And for those old-time listeners or any new listeners here, if you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to head on over to iTunes and leave some feedback for us there. You can also contact us via email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Tweet to us at Scarlet Velocity, or like Jared did, visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Hey, also you can check out our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, Ghost Rider. Wait, do we add the Ghost Rider to the end of our podcast too? Or that's
no, I don't think that's the full name anymore.
Oh, okay. All right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Then. Of course, you can get all of our shows at randomchatter.com and through iTunes and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Or change it completely. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.